Okay, yesterday we were starting to talk about the 92 days that somebody needs to read. But before that, we're discussing the case that a Kohen is not allowed to marry certain women. We discussed a divorcee, a woman who's called a Zayin in Halacha, that means she had relations with somebody she wouldn't be allowed to marry, or a Chalala, a Geyeris, by that matter, by the way. A Kohen is also not allowed to marry a convert, even a proper halachic convert. A Kohen cannot marry her because we assume that before she became Jewish, she wasn't trusted in who she was with or whatever. So bottom line is a Kohen cannot marry a Geyeris either. So now the question, the interest, I had a question like that today. Now, there's a Kohen, this is very common. A Kohen is a Baal Tshuva, yeah, no, sometimes yes, sometimes no. He's a Kohen. He got engaged to a girl who's non-religious. The question is, do you have to ask? Do you have to ask the girl, are you kosher to marry a Kohen or not? The problem with that is, you know, there's an expression, if you ask, it's treif. If you don't ask, everything's kosher. If you ask, it might be treif. So the question is there an obligation to ask the girl, basically, well, were you with the guy? I mean, which is the most practical thing in today's world. Or you can just let it go. You don't know, you don't know. So most people today are of the opinion you don't have to ask. Unless if you know, you don't have to ask. A woman has a cheskes kasherus, whatever. You can assume she's fine. I said to him, though, one thing you have to keep in mind. That the problem is, if this girl, 10 minutes before the chuppah, somehow slips and says she was with a guy, that wedding's over. So in other words, it's, you know, if everybody just quiet, nobody asks, no mention, the girl doesn't mention herself to the kohen or whatever it is. But if the kohen a week before the girl, before the week of a kohen, they're talking, you know, everybody talks open. Oh, by the way, before I knew you, I was with a guy, eh? Then they can't get married. So that is a very big risk that they have to be taking. So just people today, you have to keep in mind, do you ask or not ask? Now, once the woman is married already, and she comes to, a Kohen's wife is married to a Kohen, and she comes to her husband and says, you know, before we got married, I was with a guy. So the din is, you don't believe her. Halacha says you don't believe her.
You don't believe her, or you don't have to break up the marriage?
You don't believe her. 1 minute. I'll explain to you in a second. Why? No, it's a very good point you make. There's a nuance over here. Why? Because the Gemara says, Shemen nosna einav ba'achet. Maybe she decided to marry somebody else, and this is a good way to force the husband to divorce her. Because he can't stay married. Yeah? So therefore, if after the marriage, they're married already, the wife comes and says to her husband, by the way, before we got married, I was with a guy, they can stay married, there's no problem. But that woman, if let's say the husband dies, or it can be a divorce, because she could marry a Kohen. If the husband dies, she cannot marry a Kohen. Because she said on herself that she's not kosher. Of course, Shavi Anafshe Chetich Adisura. She made herself something permissible, forbidden. So to stay with the husband, she could stay married, because we don't believe her as far as the husband goes. But as far as another marriage to a Kohen, that she wouldn't be allowed to.
Was with the Goy, meaning that she was married with a Goy, not lived with a Goy?
No, intimate with a Goy. They didn't have to be married. She had one time relations of intimacy with a Goy. She is permanently forbidden to marry a Kohen. What?
A year before she converts, if she's with somebody, she's allowed to marry that somebody.
It's not a question of married. A Goyetis. The reason why a Geyeris, even if she's under 3 years old, whatever, they're not believed in that. So therefore, Smith Rabbanim, basically, that they cannot marry a Gier because she's assumed to be what's called a Zaina.
Also, can we say that one cannot self-incriminate itself when it comes to saying to the Kohen that she's married to someone?
That's as far as punishment goes. But a person can say that this phone is forbidden for me. A person could say that, even though it's not, but a person can make something forbidden. The woman, the fact that she says that she is not kosher l'kohen, so she's not kosher l'kohen. What?
How long does that apply? It's only before marriage? What happens during the marriage? She said someone yesterday, a goy yesterday, raped her, or she was intimate with a goy. Do you believe that?
No, you wouldn't believe it unless if the husband believes her. In other words, there's a din like this. If a married woman commits adultery, so she cannot stay married with her husband, she cannot marry the guy she was with. Okay? So what happens, as everybody knows what's going on in the world today. So what happens if a woman did have an affair with somebody? A married woman had an affair with somebody. Is she obligated to tell her husband? Halacha says she's not obligated to tell her husband. Sometimes, and this is very, very complicated halacha, but sometimes if the woman says to the husband, I had an affair with somebody, the husband halachically can say, I don't believe you. If he believes her, then they cannot stay married. But if he doesn't believe her, I don't believe you. You're lying. You're making yourself a Rasha. And that's the difference. Here, she's making herself a Rasha. She's not believed. But if the husband believes her, so then for him, she's forbidden. No.
So here she's testifying against...
So she won't get punished. She won't get capital punishment. She won't get kares. But as far as making herself forbidden, it's not a testimony. If somebody takes a piece of kosher meat and says, this to me is chazer. I mean, they're making it forbidden to me like chazer. It's chazer. She's making herself forbidden. What?
A married woman has an adulterous relationship with a man, and there are witnesses. But then her husband says, I don't want her to get punished.
It's not his jurisdiction. Somebody does a crime that they have to get punished, even in civil law. Yeah? Somebody committed a murder, and the husband says, the wife committed a murder, and the husband says, no, I don't want her to get punished. I mean, who's... he has no say. This is the court system, God. I mean, in halacha. What?
You wouldn't use the same logic that maybe she wanted to marry somebody else, and that's why she wants to incriminate herself?
But what is she saying?
She said she had an affair. So.
Yeah, but once the husband believes her, that's right. You don't have to tell the husband. But if the husband believes her, he is making her forbidden on himself.
Maybe she wants to have a
problem. Huh? Is she having a problem by staying married to him inside herself? Isn't she doing that very...
It's only if the husband... That's what halacha says. It's only if the husband knows about it or believes it.
But if she stays quiet, it's still on her cheshbon.
Doesn't matter. It's between her and God. Halachically, she could stay married.
Maybe she wants to have a ben zachar to make a doubt in his... Her
husband's mind,
so
okay, let's just... okay.
And if he died, would she be allowed to marry that other guy that she said she was with?
No. Because she forbade herself to that guy on herself. But the problem is this happens more often than you think it does, by the way. Even in the religious circles. It happens. There's big problems. Just believe you. Basically, a lot of times they'll tell the husband, don't believe her. If they want to stay married, in other words. The bezim will tell the guy, don't believe her. Say you don't believe her. If he doesn't believe her, he's not awesome to him.
Does it change does it work vice versa? If the husband has an affair?
He can have many wives.
Not in Ashkenazi.
That's only Chaim Rabbeinu Gershon.
In concept, right? It's concept.
Let me ask you a question. If a married guy goes over to a single woman in front of two witnesses, Ashkenazi guy, who's married, goes over to a single woman, gives her a ring in front of two eidos, or gives her money, something, and says, in front of two witnesses, does that woman need a get?
Yes.
Even if they're Ashkenazi?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what happens if a married woman, comes over to a single man, and the single man gives her a ring and says, in front of two witnesses. Does that woman need a get from the second guy? No, because the Kedushin is totally worthless. There's an interesting Neda B'Yehuda that he said, how far Chaim Rabbeinu Gershon goes, there's a Tshuva Neda B'Yehuda that many people paskin like that. I mean, it's not so relevant. You know, you can send a shliach to give a get. Now, what happened? Rabbeinu Gershon says you can't force a woman against her will. Divorce a woman against her will. No, at the time of the Gemara, yeah. Rabbeinu Gershon came along 1,000 years ago and said a man is not allowed to divorce his wife Bakar against her will. Okay? That's why women that don't receive accept a get, the husband can't just throw her a get. Rabbeinu Gershon says no. That's it. So now, the Neda B'Yehuda takes it a step further. That if somebody says sends a shliach to divorce his wife against her will, he's not a valid shliach because ein shliach l'dvar aveda. There's a rule by an aveda, he can't make a shliach. And the Neda B'Yehuda says that applies even to Chenu Rabbeinu Gershon, which Chenu only, it's Rabbeinu Gershon, not even in Amreda, it's Rishenim. It was before Rashi, but you know. So, you would still wouldn't be a valid get.
So he turned this to an Avera?
In that respect. So it's ancient Avera, because that guy was supposed to listen to Rabbeinu Gershon. But as far as a man goes, if a man does, a married man, who can't have a halachically, if he's Ashkenazic, a second wife, yeah? And he does Kedusha with a second woman who's single, she needs a get from him. Because halacha, biblically, she's married. Now, sometimes, it's late. Sometimes the Rabbanim of the Gemara, take their power very strong. For instance, biblically, I'm using hours just to make it. Biblically, chametz is forbidden to benefit from at 12 o'clock. Let's say, the chum said 11 o'clock, an hour earlier. That means from 11 to 12, biblically, the chametz still has value. You're allowed to use it. The chachamim came along and said, from 11 o'clock, you're not allowed to use the chametz. Okay? Got it? At 11:30, a man, out of Pesach, went with the bread and was mekadesh a woman with it. Now, biblically, he gave her something of value because biblically, it was still edible. It was not edible, beneficial. Edible also, minatayr. Chachamim said, it's not. So now the question, l'chedam, minatayr, she's an eishes ish. Biblically, she's a married woman because he gave her something biblically as value. The Chachamim said, no, you have to stop eating. You can't benefit at 11 o'clock. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, it's not a valid kedusha. So the Gemara asks, but biblically it is. What do you mean the Chum say? It's a biblical eishes ish. So the Gemara answers, kol ha-mekadesh ha-daita d'rabbanim. The Gemara p'sachim. Kol ha-mekadesh ha-daita d'rabbanim mekadesh. When you do kedushin, you're doing on the intent of what the rabbis want. You know, when you give a ring, you don't say, what do you say? Hariyat mekadesh asli? Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. Why do you add those words? Why can't you just say, hariyat mekadesh asli? B'tabazu. Why do you have to add Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael? So the Gemara says, the reason for that is, because when you do Kedusha, you're doing it the way the Chachamim want it to be. If they don't want it to be, it doesn't happen. That's the power that they have. Machadjin is an amazing, I'll use so. Machadjin is an amazing,